Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mark Bayshore. While some people tend to disregard the paranormal as just shadows and creaky floorboards, others decide to dive further into the unknown. Our next guest decided to do just that. Samantha Harris is a spiritual healer, demonologist, paranormal investigator, and founder of the Michigan Paranormal Research Association. Samantha works on shows about the paranormal for the Travel Channel and the Destination America Channel, among others. And the MSU graduate recently became a published author. Fighting Malevolent Spirits, A Demonologist's Darkest Encounters, includes several cases here in Michigan, including Lansing, that might just make the hair on your neck stand up. She joins us today to talk more about her experiences. Samantha, welcome to Current State.
Oh, thank you. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be back in my old stomping grounds here at the Communications Building.
You're a comm arts grad?
Right, right. Okay. Yeah, I miss the MSU campus. So I work now down, unfortunately, at U of M. So it's nice to kind of reconnect. Yeah.
So, you learned they offer paranormal communication here in the comm arts department. I didn't know that.
Exactly. That's what I specialized in. No, just basically my background's in communications with a little bit of abnormal psychology, and that kind of helps give me a good perspective and a background when I'm working on these cases with families, so it's quite interesting.
So you are a paranormal investigator and the founder of the Michigan Paranormal Research Association. What kinds of situations do you study and investigate?
Exactly. Well, originally I started out with just basic hauntings, and I know it's a little bit of a stretch to ask people to believe in the paranormal, even though like 3/4 of Americans actually do, but then I'm kind of taking a step further talking about different types of hauntings, specifically inhuman hauntings, which are typically more severe in nature. So a lot of the families I deal with, they have severe dysfunctional kind of elements going on with their family, such as, you know, alcoholism, substance abuse, sexual violence, depression, chronic illness, things like that. And it's kind of an interesting case and psychological perspective. For me, it's kind of like, who came first, the chicken or the egg? Is it this haunting caused by these bad habits in these families? Or, you know, was this entity or this inhuman spirit actually attracted to them? But it kind of goes hand in hand in every case that I deal with that's this severe.
What is an inhuman haunting? There's a human haunting and an inhuman haunting?
Yeah, well, it kind of goes back into like different theology perspectives, but basically, you know, demonology is the study of these inhuman entities that are believed to be, you know, kind of going across an Abrahamic belief that they are kind of like fallen angels, I guess you could say, which to me it even sounds outlandish and kind of ridiculous, but the things that I've seen and experienced with these families in these cases, I really can't explain for our scientific means as of right now.
Well, let's look at one of these things. I mean, and this is one, these are all collected in your book, I take it. The book is a collection of these experiences.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, and I kind of wanted to set it up as a self-help book, but with the publishers, they kind of wanted to reorganize it as, you know, a collection of my most severe cases that I really couldn't explain and really share, you know, the traumatic experience that these families went through. And then I also provide in the appendix kind of how-to instructions for people to remove these hauntings, because a lot of the people that contact me, they've asked their church for help, they've had botched, you know, home exorcisms basically, and they're kind of left without, you know, any sort of solution. So I wanted to teach people, and I believe very firmly that they themselves can do this. You know, I'm not special whatsoever. You know, I teach people how to do their own house blessings, and it works even if you're not having a haunting, just to remove any built up negative energy per se. And I know that sounds goofy to say that, but, you know, say there's somebody with cancer or, you know, chronic depression, they've actually proven that when you perform house blessings, say, for example, you know, burning white sage or something like that, it actually alters the environment, specifically the ions. So there's actually, we're starting to prove there is scientific evidence behind these house blessings that something's actually changing and improving the environment. To me, that's fascinating.
Is a house blessing kind of the updated way to describe what used to be called an exorcism? Is that
right.
The flip side of an exorcism?
Right, and I think it sounds a little bit more palatable that way, too. But, you know, commonly it's believed exorcism or when you exorcise a spirit from a human's body, but that can apply to a home, an object, a place, you know, land. It's believed that energy is kind of imprinted on the ground. So when you kind of cleanse that, per se, it makes a big difference in these families' lives.
We're talking with Samantha Harris, who is the author of Fighting Malevolent Spirits, A Demonologist's Darkest Encounter. That word scares the hell out of me. I have a hard time saying demonologist.
Spooky.
What is the most, can you share one or two or the most more memorable experiences you've had then?
Yeah, one of the cases that was actually included in the book was also featured on Discovery Channel's sister network, which was Destination America, and it was on the show A Haunting, and basically it's like a reenactment of it, but the case there was a 19-year-old guy who was about, oh, I would say like 320 pounds, 6'2", like a bigger guy, you know, not easy to throw around, but he was actually thrown across the room by an unseen force. There was multiple witnesses. Right before the blessing, all the kitchen cabinets opened up, and, you know, it wasn't animals or anything like that. It wasn't because, you know, the cabinets weren't balanced correctly. You know, I've seen people be scratched or burned by things that I, you know, you can't see and measure, which is, to me, fascinating. And that's kind of why I like this. It's like the last frontier, in my opinion, of like the scientific community. And we just haven't, you know, found the exact specific ways to document and measure these events. But we have a little bit of background at that. You know, I've seen other cases where, you know, we had a woman down in Grosse Pointe, Michigan, where she believed she had a poltergeist, which is, you know, German for like noisy spirit or an active spirit. And she was actually thrown on her floor, her marble hallway, and it knocked out her front teeth. They had water materialize out of thin air, you know, banging and weird sounds throughout the house. And she hired in all these different labor workers, you know, like a plumber, you know, electrician, just to kind of debunk the whole thing. And they themselves were even like, you know, you might have something here. You might have a poltergeist. So it's definitely interesting.
What's the most dramatic incident that you yourself have witnessed?
I would definitely say the 19-year-old being thrown across the room, and his friend was punched in the stomach as well.
You saw that?
Yeah. And it was really interesting to see some of these things happening in the house. And, you know, you read about these things, you hear about these stories, but when you're actually there present in the home and these things start happening, I mean, how do you explain that? I mean, are we all hallucinating? You know, it's really kind of compelling to me to really research this further. And there's dangers with this line of work. You know, it's impacted my personal life greatly. You know, and it kind of changes, you know, the way you sleep. You know, I've had what I believe to be entities visiting me in my house prior to a house blessing. And I think it's an effort to kind of intimidate me or scare me away from helping people. And a lot of people don't want to help these families because it is intense. It is definitely a risk.
Did you have to do anything in particular to provoke this throwing incident that you referred to? I mean, do you have to go in there? Was it your aim to witness something like that?
No, and you know, of course I want to help kind of prove in the scientific community that these things are real, but I'm a big advocate for not provoking. I think it's something, this line of work should be respected. It shouldn't be aggravated whatsoever. And so I really go in there and counsel with these families for several hours and then perform a house blessing. And oftentimes there'll be a lot of activity right before a house blessing because, you know, it's kind of like a cornered animal that you're dealing with, and they're going to put up every last effort to try to prevent you from performing your job. So I don't believe in provoking. I try to just focus strictly on the family and the trials and tribulations that they're going through before dealing with the house blessing.
What's been the reception from the families that you write about in your book? Were they happy to hear that you were writing about them? I mean,
Yeah. A lot of the families really wanted their story to be told, but they're kind of afraid, you know, if they were to publicly speak about this. You know, we kind of ostracize people for, you know, being insane or crazy, and it's more common than what people believe. It's just that we kind of stigmatize these different events as, you know, something that maybe it's, you know, it's a mental illness. And I actually go through a psychological evaluation with every family to make sure that there's not other elements in play, you know, to kind of debunk the paranormal encounters. But, you know, a lot of the families are really delighted and happy to have their stories shared. Obviously, you know, for privacy protection reasons, I changed their name, but everything in the book is accurate and true. And, you know, I decided to keep some of the graphic details and some of the disturbing parts about these cases because it's realistic, it's true. It kind of gives you a psychological background on what's going on with these families.
How did you learn how to do a house blessing? were these being done in some form before you got involved in this? And have you altered how you do these things?
Right. I'm definitely unorthodox, and I actually kind of created my own method. And I've taught like hundreds of people online how to perform their own. You know, I have YouTube videos. I have instructions online for free, but it's also included in my book, too, is that I basically studied many different cultures and religions. And I actually took away from everyone, like, what is the most potent method that they practice to remove, you know, negative energy, what they believe to be evil spirits. And I actually kind of put them together and made this kind of little crazy method. But, you know, I use Christian, Catholic, Native American, and South American methods. And to me, they've been very successful. You know, out of the 80-some-odd house blessings that I performed, only two of them were unsuccessful. And, you know, I have a couple theories on that. And one of which, you know, not everyone in the family was on board for it. You know, the other, one of the sons, like, didn't care that his mom was being physically assaulted and attacked by something. He didn't really care. And then the other case was that not everyone was present in the home, and we didn't get to counsel with everyone. And so they were gone for part of the house blessing and then returned later. So now I kind of revamped my method that everyone has to be present. Everyone wants this to be removed. And I use a non-denominational approach because I don't want to, you know, infringe upon anyone's beliefs and stuff. I'm very, I accept everyone's religious views and beliefs. So I kind of structure each house blessing and counseling and cleansing session around their views as well, which to me is interesting because that would point to me in my mind that, you know, whatever greater power exists is kind of beyond our man-made concepts. So I think it's very interesting.
And how do you respond briefly to really hardened skeptics?
Right.
Walk
no.
up to you and say, Samantha, this is just all a load of hooey.
Right.
I mean,
yep,
how do you respond?
I mean, I think it sounds crazy too. You know, I know that. And I actually, this is off topic, I have a learning disability called dyscalculia, and I actually had a psychological DSM-4 psych evaluation. So I'm actually sane. So that's good. But I appreciate skeptics. We need skeptics in the world. Everything should be questioned. And that's actually the perspective that I myself started from. But if you don't go and research these things and actually investigate them, how are you going to experience it? It's a rare thing with demonic hauntings, but when you actually kind of dive into that line of work, you're bound to find something, and eventually you can't explain these things.
Samantha Harris is a spiritual healer, demonologist, paranormal investigator, and founder of the Michigan Paranormal Research Association. Her new book is called Fighting Malevolent Spirits, A Demonologist's Darkest Encounters. Thanks, Samantha. Good luck.
Thank you.